Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona, producer and host of this show, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 10 years, we have been ranked the number one entertainment career advice internet radio show. And this is the show for you to listen to if you're currently pursuing or dreaming about a career in the entertainment industry. The guests on this show are going to help you by providing tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a whole bunch of careers, just a wide variety of professions in show business. Now, some of the guests on this show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, film and music producers, film and television and theater directors. We have casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, actors, singers, songwriters, comedians, script supervisors, stunt people, and entertainment lawyers. There's no end to the wide variety of professions in the entertainment industry, and we try to bring them all on the show to give you all that advice in case you want to pursue one of those careers. Now, if you missed any of our shows, please go to our archive page on the LA Talk Radio website, that's latalkradio.com, and search for the title of our show, which is Question Reality. Or you can search by my name, Priscilla Leona. And all of the Question Reality shows are also available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And please make sure to get your free mobile app in the App Store. I think it's Google, and it's for Android and iPhone. So the App Store, and then I'm not sure what the Google is. I don't know what that store is called. Maybe the Marketplace? Not sure, but if you have an Android, you know where to go. Maybe Google. So go on the home. The free mobile app is on for both of them, for Android and iPhone, located on the homepage of the latalkradio.com website. And it's located on the right-hand side towards the bottom of the page. A lot of people can't seem to find it. You just have to scroll a little while because we have a lot of stuff going on. Finally, if you want to be a guest or refer someone to be on this show and promote themselves and showcase themselves, their products, and just genuinely help listeners with sage career advice, we're booking professional people for the new year in 2019. And you can submit now. Basically, we won't start interviewing for consideration until maybe October, November, I think. Not sure what my assistant does, but somehow the guests appear. I don't know. It just happens. but right now, if you go to our official website, it is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com, and that is where you click on the contact link and submit for interview consideration. So again, for 2019, we are now currently accepting guest consideration. All right, that is it for all of the dull, boring stuff. Now on to the fun activity, which is the actual interview. Now, this guest is so beautiful. She's gorgeous. She's so gorgeous. Her name is Tia McGrath. She is a singer, a songwriter, and a children's book author. And she's one half of the musical duo, Tia and Tommy. Love that. That could be a sitcom. It could be a movie. It could be a cartoon. It could be a book. It could also be a porn film. But let's not go there. She is here promoting their latest album, which is Stubborn in My Blood. And this dynamic duo has 7 international CD releases, various film and TV placements, and numerous nominations and awards, including Americana CD of the Year, first round nomination for the 2016 Grammy Awards. How exciting is that, people? Now, this duo has a gift for getting to the heart of the matter and writing these relatable songs about life and love and our crazy psychotic world. And also, Tia is an author of a children's book. It's called Jake and the Road Dog, D-A-W-G, Jake and the Road Dog. Tia McGrath has, from this book, I believe, she has helped raise funds and awareness of her local chapter of the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. And it is so exciting because we're going to be playing two. Usually I just play one, but I loved all of these songs on the CD. I could not pick a favorite. It's like, oh my gosh, I love that one. No, I love that one. No, I love that one. No, this one. No, it was the worst time trying to narrow this down. I said, I'm not going to play one. I have to play two. It has to be two. So this is very special because, you know, I usually only play one. We'll be playing two songs on the air today, one around 5:30, and then the other one we're going to close the show out, so about 5:45 we'll start playing that one, and we'll find out what the inspiration behind the songs are from the I'm not sure if Tia is the singer or the songwriter or both. We'll find out in a second. But we'll find out what the inspiration was behind those two songs. Now, I want you to go to our website, TiaMcGrath.com. That's T-I-A-M-C, G as in good, R-A-F-F, as in Frank, or friendly fun. Or Frankfurter Fantastic, FF, Tia McGrath.com. Also, she's on Facebook under Tia McGrath and Official Tia McGrath. And what I love right off the bat, as I have drilled into you people for the whole 10 years we've been on the air, she did exactly what I try so hard to tell people to do, and still they don't do it. She has branded. She's branded herself. Website, TiaMcGrath.com. Facebook, Tia McGrath. Facebook, Official Tia McGrath. Some of you people drive me crazy where you're like, I'm too sexy for my shirt. And then, you know, and then you on Facebook and then on Twitter, you got another name. And then your website is another name. And then your Instagram is another name. And you try to be cute. But what happens when people try to find you? Do they have time to sit and try to remember, oh, what was his website? Oh, what was his Twitter? What was it? No, they do not. You will lose a lot of followers. You won't even get a lot of fans because nobody can find you. So please make sure that you keep it consistent. Pick it and stick it. Oh my God, I think that's original. Pick it and stick it. Nobody can take that. I'm going to patent that. I just made it up. Pick it and stick it. I got to write that down. Oh, right in the middle of Tia's interview. I have to come up with something creative. Well, without further ado, let's welcome her to the show. As you can hear, she's been giggling and laughing, and I just love her already. We got on the phone before the interview, and we couldn't stop talking. So I said, oh, my gosh, Tia and I could be on the phone for hours. Welcome to the show, Tia. There you go.
Oh, thank you, darling. How are you tonight?
Oh, my God. Well, I tell you, I feel better. As I told you, I've had a migraine all day. We were talking about how we've both been traveling. First of all, you, much more exciting than mine, you just got back from your England tour. Oh, my gosh. Tell us about it. Tia, I'm telling you, I lived in England, girl, for 6 months, best time of my life.
You can't beat it. You know, it's Europeans have it all over us. They know how to stop and have a cup of coffee, and they still love entertainment. They still love just, you know, it's so great. This is our 13th tour. And our Stubborn in My Blood release tour, and we just had a beautiful, beautiful time. There's so many wonderful memories that Tommy and I shared from this trip. We made it about our friends, too.
Well, you know, first of all, let's start, because I like to do things in chronological order, and we gotta find out everything about you. First of all, you're from Canada, and I gotta tell you, Tia, Michael Stover must represent every fantastic, amazing, talented musical artist from Canada. He has so many Canadian artists. I have to ask him about that one day. But being from Canada, okay. I don't think Tommy is, but accompanying you on your musical journey is your life musical partner, Tommy Parham. And I understand right. that the two of you met and married in Nashville, Tennessee. And you say that you really enjoy your career performing, songwriting, and recording together. And you've been doing it for more than 12 years. So first of all, not many people can work and live together for 1 year, let alone 12 years. What is your secret?
That, you know, we just are passionate about what we do and we understand each other. Tommy actually moved to Nashville from Santa Monica. He was living in LA. He's originally from Colorado. And yeah, so he had started his songwriting and everything pretty much out in Santa Monica and then moved to Nashville with a publishing deal in hand. And I had moved there from Canada. I'd been doing some work up here. And when we met, we started writing together, first of all, and then we became friends, and then we broke our rule of never date a co-writer, and that's when we got romantically involved, and we got married eventually. And because I think we started as friends first and co-writers, it kind of, we had already established a respect for each other, and we just support each other, and we understand each other's role in our career. Like each of us have different hats to wear at different times. And then we just, you know, we just love each other so much and we're partners and, you know, in every way. And it's just beautiful.
If you were to give advice to you, what are some do's and don'ts of pursuing a career as a musical artist, with your husband or wife? Help us save some marriages here.
Okay. All righty. First of all, buy a GPS. For the road.
Oh, I know. Oh my God. And, there have been divorces over directions. That's true.
Oh yeah. You know, one of the things that we established early in our songwriting, which we kind of pertain in life, I guess, is there was a great, and I don't know, I think it was Rodgers and Hammerstein, but they said that when they were writing, co-writing together, if one of them did not agree on a line, then they wouldn't use that line. They both had to be 100% in agreement. And so we said, that's a cool rule. So we pertained that to our songwriting and it worked for us. And then we kind of led it into our personal life. And so if we're on the road and one of us just doesn't want to do something or the other one's going, you know, I don't know, then we just don't do it. You know, we kind of make sure that we are in agreement of things and try to, again, it's respect, isn't it? It's respect and trust. You just have to know your partner and really respect them and validate them. Yeah. Validation is so important.
It is. It constantly, you have to tell them, you have to tell them how great they are. I mean, I have to
tell
my husband like 20 to 50 times a day. No, it's not that bad.
But you know, we love to hear it ourselves. Yeah.
Yes, of course we do. But you know, a lot of women do. That's a great point, Tia, because a lot of women forget that men need compliments too. It's really true.
I'm the lead singer, and I'm out there, Tommy doesn't mind that. Like he says, I'm kind of the background guy, but I'm like, no, that, you know, you're my partner. We're equal. So a lot of times, you know, we'll be lined up selling our merchandise and people will be coming to me for my autograph and I'll say, well, you need to get Tommy's too, only he charges for his.
Well, see, he's the wind beneath your wings. I mean, that's
right.
That's a big job to fill, being the wind, because you're just the wings. He's like the whole
right.
wind. Right? Okay.
That's
so
right.
The two of you have been labeled as the modern day modern day Johnny and June. And for those of you who might not know who this is referring to, that's Johnny and June Cash. The millennials might not know this, so this is why I'm going into detail. They're very famous husband and wife country singing duo for many years. And so my question is, with you constantly being labeled Johnny and June, oh, again, Jay and Jay, you're Tommy and Tia, and they're Johnny and June. Oh, I can see it. I didn't think of that. So what, so who started, no, what question do I want to ask? Okay. I guess I want to know who started that label for you two, and how do you feel about that comparison? I mean, that's a pretty strong comparison to be compared to Johnny and June Cash.
It's a wow. I think it was one of the, it was a, an interviewer, if I'm not mistaken, that put that in one of their reviews on our show one time. And, First of all, we were blown away. We just think Johnny and June were just the most amazing people, and artists, and again, a husband and wife who lifted each other up. And I actually had a chance to work with Johnny Cash and June Carter on a TV show when I was early in my career in Toronto. And I got to meet them backstage, and Johnny invited me into June's dressing room to meet her. And they were just the most humble, down to earth people. And so Tommy and I, now when we're on the road, or in our career, you know, day to day, we will often say, what would Johnny and June do in this situation? How would Johnny and June handle that? And so my advice to someone out there would be, pick someone that you really, really, truly respect and admire. And when you're faced with things, just say, you know, what would they do in this situation, or how would they handle that? And it kind of removes you from it in a way that you can, it's almost like looking up at someone and going, okay, how would they shine their light on this for me? You know? And it helps us in sometimes if we're in a really difficult decision-making situation, it's like a spotlight kind of shining down for us.
Oh, I like that. Well, speaking of, Johnny and June, they had a ton of stories to share. I know both of them were really good storytellers. I've had friends I've met in down the road of life who have known, like you, Johnny and June Cash, and they said they were great storytellers. So let me ask you, can you share one of the funniest or most interesting stories that occurs to you as being really funny that the two of you experienced in your musical career? Like, what's the funniest thing that you and Tommy go, oh my gosh, do you remember that?
Well, just being married to Tommy, I mean, Tommy's a funny guy. I'll share one. We share this some, God, there's a couple of them. There's one that happened in Scotland or one that happened in Tennessee. I don't know which
Scotland.
One you'd like to hear.
Scotland! Okay, Scotland. I was so cheap in Scotland. I love Scotland. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so when one of our first tours over there, Tommy does all the driving, and of course, as you know, it's on the wrong side of the road, right? And the steering wheel's on, and he's shifting gears with his left hand and everything. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And so in the roundabouts, right, they have the roundabouts, and they call their signal lights indicator lights.
Right.
So Tommy was, our friend taught Tommy how to get into the roundabouts and how to use the indicator lights, and they have a special way of doing it. Well, we were up in Scotland, in the very northern Scotland. We had just come home from a gig. We were on our way back to the bed and breakfast, and Tommy hadn't been using his indicator lights. And I was giving him hell, and I said, Tommy, you got to use those indicator lights, the signal lights. So just then I saw this grocery store, and I said, oh, I'm hungry. Let's pull over there and get something. So Tommy does this veer into the roundabout, and all of a sudden, Scottish police pull us over.
Oh.
And so Tommy rolls down his window and he says, sir, do you know why I pulled you over? And Tommy goes, have no idea. And he recognized Tommy's American accent. And he said, you're not from around here, are you? And Tommy said, no. And he says, you weren't using your indicator lights. And Tommy says, my what? And he says, your indicator lights. And Tommy said, oh, you need my signal lights. And so I tried to help Tommy out. So I leaned forward and I yelled at Tommy and I said, I told you you were supposed to use those. So the Scottish policeman kind of looks at Tommy like, oh, you got your hands full here. So he says, okay, I'll let you go, sir. Just remember, use your indicator lights.
Yes. Oh, he didn't want to get in a tangle with you.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Well, I don't want to get them into a fight. You know how peaceful they are. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Very, very peace-abiding. Now, 7 international CD releases, various film and TV placements, on numerous nominations and awards, including what we were talking about earlier, which was that Americana CD of the year first round nomination for the 2016 Grammy Awards. That is so impressive. Obviously, that I would think that has really earned you and Tommy a great deal of respect in the music industry. And I understand you have a global fan base. So my question is, can you explain to people who may not know, can you explain what the Americana CD of the Year first round nomination of Grammy Awards means?
Well, it was really exciting for us. And I think what even was more exciting was that one of the players who had played on the album actually got us, he submitted for us and called us and said, you know what, this album is too good to not be considered. And so I'm going to submit for you on your behalf. And when that, I mean, he was, one of the studio players. And so when that happened, we were like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. Again, it's about validation, isn't it? And so then we got a call that, yeah, we had appeared on the first round ballot, and that meant the world to us. We didn't get on the next ballot or anything, but we got on the first round Grammy nomination ballot, and that was so cool for us because it was like, we all know what it takes to get nominated for those awards. We all know what it takes to win those awards, and you have to have a whole machine behind you, really, right? And we were just this little couple here doing it on our shoestring budget. And this one, we even feel more confident. Whether we get nominated or not, we just know that Stubborn in My Blood is an amazing album. People that are hearing it around the world are being moved by it. We show up in England and there are people who've got all of our CDs and they can't wait to see us to come back and perform for them. And the same in the States and Canada. And so we're also playing to some schools now as well, young schools and primary schools and that, and families showing up saying, thank you for coming into our community and playing, because I couldn't get my children to London to see a performance, but you come right to us and play, and my children now are growing up listening to your music. So it's really cool what's happening with our music, and then of course I'm tying in my Jake the Road Dog book with it as well. So
yeah,
it's all tying together really nicely.
I understand in 2015 and through 2017 that they were really standout years for you and Tommy. You had sold out shows around the world, including, and I have to bring this up because the coveted Bluebird Cafe in Nashville, Tennessee, you had international acclaim for your CD release of Crazy Beautiful and radio play on Bob Harris Country on BBC Radio 2 in the UK. You know, I'm all about the UK. And I would love, oh my gosh, I would love one day, it's on my bucket list here, to go to the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville. Now, for those of you listening, you're like, why do I know that? What Bluebird Cafe? It sounds familiar because it was the featured cafe on the hit show Nashville that was out for a couple years with Connie Britton. So that's where, if you've heard the Bluebird Cafe and you're not into country music, that's where you might have heard it. So anyway, how, Tia, did you and Tommy get the opportunity to work there at the Bluebird Cafe?
Well, that's a great question. We lived in Nashville for a number of years. And so We just kind of started working our way into it. It was very difficult to get into. They have two rounds per evening. One is at 6 o'clock and one is at 9 o'clock. And the 9 o'clock is like the seasoned writers, the more, you know. And so we've started playing the 6 o'clock rounds, and then we just graduated into the 9 o'clock rounds, and we actually host our own rounds. And
how long do you get to when you first start out to, like, how would you go? Like, if there's a musical artist and they just came to Nashville, mm-hmm. and they would love to play at the Bluebird Cafe, where do they go? What do they do? Who do they talk to? And what does it entail?
I believe it's still NSAI, the Nashville Songwriters Association, that actually owns the Bluebird. So you can contact the NSAI in Nashville. Then I believe they have an open mic night still, where songwriters can sign up ahead of time and go and kind of, well, do the open mic, right? And then I think the way they do that is that they will pick certain ones to come back and perform again. We kind of bypassed all of that because we were living there, writing with writers. You know, I had some songs published. Tommy had a publishing deal. And so we just got into the network of things. And every year we go back and we do a round, and our own round at 9 o'clock. And it's just a real honor and a blessing. I remember the first time I went there, and I was sitting there watching Andrew Gold play, and of Linda Ronstadt fame. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm sitting in the Bluebird Cafe watching Andrew Gold play sing Lonely Boy, and this is just so friggin' amazing, and I want to be here. And it's determination, you know, you just have to kind of visualize what you want to do and then go after it. And that's what I did. You know, I just kind of worked really hard. Tommy worked really hard, and we would just visualize and then we'd go after it.
That's what everybody needs to do about anything in your life. But you know what? It is time. It is time to play your first song, because I am getting messages that people want to hear your song. Wait a minute here. She's giving us great information. We're going to play the song. People, stop sending me the messages. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. All right. Let's just get to the first song before they drive me crazy. All right. So the first song we're going to play is the one that I chose. And you don't know what it is because I did not tell you. This is the first time we've ever spoken, right? So you don't
That's
know.
Right.
So this is going to show just how much you remember about this song. All right. So I chose Here With Me. And when I listen to it, tears are coming out of my eyes. I needed a Kleenex. Couldn't find one. Mm. So I ended up getting a napkin, had grease, and now my eye has like a greasy film. But anyway, the point is, loved that song. Tell us, we're going to play it right now, but tell us, what was the inspiration behind that song? First of all, are he's the songwriter, you're the singer, or do you both, I think you said you both write songs, right? And who wrote this one, or did you write it together?
Yeah.
And then what was the inspiration for writing it?
Okay, so this one, Tommy and I write all our songs together, but this one in particular, wow, and you're gonna be floored when you hear this because of our conversation before our interview, but my cousin's husband was in final stages of cancer last August, and he was a big fan of ours. His name was Ted, and Ted and Debbie came to all of our concerts, and I was sitting here one day, I knew that he was in final stages in the hospital, and I was really down about it. And I was reading my inspirational passages and reading my Bible, and I was reading this story about this woman who had cancer, and her friends were asking her, how did you get through it? And she said, because I knew you were here with me tonight, and I've never felt alone. And all of a sudden, this song poured out, and I just wrote it. And Tommy came home that afternoon, and I played it for him, and I asked him, you know, help me make a few changes here. And so he did a little bit of arrangement thing on it for me, and this was the song.
And this is and what came
so,
out. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What a, oh, well, that, you know, now that I know where the song came from, it fits perfectly, because someone can hear, you can have 10 people hear the same song and they're going to have somewhat varying degrees of difference for their life story, but it's going to touch people in different ways, but it can mean different things to different people. One person can hear it and think about love and romance. Mm-hmm. Another one can think about loss, and it could be anything. But now that I hear that, it makes perfect sense. So I chose this song. I love this song. This song is called Here With Me. It is by Tia McGrath, from her latest album, which is entitled Stubborn in My Blood. And we're going to play it, and then we're going to come back and talk to Tia about her next song and more information about Tia. Patia, that's what I'm calling you, Patia. Tia McGrath. Okay, so here we go, Here With Me by Tia McGrath.
Like a roller coaster ride, a downhill drop into the night. Don't know how to make it stop. Just wanna scream, let me off. This kind of pain I never knew. Don't think I can make it through. Then again, I might. 'Cause you're here with me tonight. So love me like you can hold back tomorrow. And show me some kind of beautiful light. Just give
class right now. I feel so relaxed. and peaceful and serene. Your voice is so hauntingly gorgeous. Wow.
Thank
it takes you. You know, it takes you on a journey. It's like, it's so, well, obviously it's melodic. I want to describe, it feels like it's a feather, you know, and it's floating into the earth. Is that weird to say? That's just my description.
No.
It's just what that's what I feel like when I listen to your song. And if you think that that song is beautiful, people, you need to hear the rest of the songs on the CD or this album. They said CD, album, CD. Oh, my goodness. But every single one is so beautiful. And everyone, there's something on this album for everyone. You know, I think that that's what you wrote it for, so that it would appeal to older people, younger people, mm-hmm. and there's even mm-hmm. it would attract like the Gen X, Gen Z, whatever the one before millennials. Mm-hmm. But it and the songs are written so well that you can put your own story to it. Like you told us what that song meant to you, but that song mm-hmm. can. Total, I can see that song having many different stories for many different types of situations. And I think that's how you write, or you guys write.
That's how a songwriter, you know, should write. Like we are writing from our perspective, but we're storytellers. And, you know, but like you hit it on the head, like someone should be able to hear that story and yet put their own visual to it, their own story behind it as well, right? I think that's the way. There's nothing worse than listening to a song that's written narcissistically. You know what I mean?
My
like,
gosh. See,
like oh my god!
Just, yeah, like that was when you just said that people should write where the song can have different stories attached. There are some songs that are not written like that. Like what was that song? A while. I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy. I mean, come on. What else could it possibly mean? Or I like big butts and a do not lie. I mean, they're so. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's all they're about. Big butts and I'm too sexy for my shirt. And it just repeats through the whole song. Just repeats.
Yeah.
And you can't really put too many. You can't have too many stories attached to that mentality, right? But with mm-hmm. your stories, you can have, it can be about love, romance, as a loss of a relative or a loss of a mate. It could be about a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle. It could be about anyone. So I think that is how a successful song is written. But then again, have songs like I just said that it appeals to that audience too. Nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with you know, it just depends on audience. But your songs, they're all just really, really just beautiful. And with the 2018 release of the album Stubborn in My Blood, your first single, I believe, was Strong. It's already reaching beyond all demographics and boundaries. And
how timely is this?
Mm-hmm. And I didn't play that one because I wanted to hold out. I wanted people to just go on iTunes or go, and they have to find that. I'm not giving it to them. They're going to have to go get it on iTunes and listen to it or wherever you're. I assume all your stuff is sold on iTunes and all the, you know, all of, right? It's sold on everything, mm-hmm. right? So go find iTunes. That's my favorite place. But I wanted them to check this out. So again, the first single, Strong, it is reaching beyond all the demographics and boundaries. And I understand mm-hmm. that it was adopted by the Me Too, hashtag Me Too, mm-hmm. and other women's empowerment groups around the world. So how mm-hmm. did your song Strong end up being adopted by the hashtag Me Too group? That's what I'd love to know.
It's a real, well, you know, we wrote this song with our friend Devin O'Day in Nashville. And this song came from an honest place. Devin had started the song and Tommy and I were visiting and she pulled it out and said, would you guys help me finish this? We literally finished it in, I think, within an hour, all of us. And we brought it home. We recorded it on our phone. brought it home, and I just loved it so much, and Tommy felt there was something pretty amazing there. So we went back down to Nashville and recorded it with Catherine Marks playing piano on it. She's Reba's piano player. And the version was just so incredible that we just got it out there. We just wanted to get it out in the universe. So we started sending it out to radio stations. And next thing you know, I get a call from Velder Beebe in Dallas, Texas. And she and this new group that she had started, a women's empowerment group, wanted to use this as their theme song. And so it just started from there. And it's so timely. I mean, you know, it's let them see you strong, let them see you burn, let them see your light. I mean, come on. This is what's happening right now, wow. Right? As exactly. We're speaking, this is what's going on. And so we are just really, really, really believing that this is going to find a big home in the world, and people are going to hear this on a big level.
Oh, my gosh. And I listened to it, and it's really, really, really great. So, but you are not going to hear that as our next song.
Oh.
You have to go to iTunes. Well, because Michael told me that you wanted 110 Soldier to be your highlighted song.
Oh.
So that's what I had planned on. That's what I sent over. Well, see, now, Tia, that is fabulous, because you're going to have to come back on the show so that we can.
Yeah.
Please tell me you're going to come back next year. You have to tell me.
Absolutely.
We're going to play more songs from the. You might have a new album out by then. Who knows? We'll play. But real quick, because we want to close out with that song. Really quick before we do that, I understand that you wrote a children's book called Jake the Dog, the Road Dog, and I understand that it has helped raise funds and awareness for your local chapter of the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. And first of all, really quick, because we only got like 5 minutes. First of all, why did you decide to write a children's book? Are you a huge Dolly Parton fan? And what is the Dolly Parton Imagination Library?
Okay. So Jake the Road Dog. Jake is a shelter dog, our shelter dog we rescued when we were living in Nashville. And he's been on the road with us, and he has so many amazing stories. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool, because I know children are not getting, to tie story with music. I know that a lot of children are not getting music in schools these days. So I wrote my book based on the life of a road musician through the road dog's eyes. And finding the song in your heart, and Jake finds the song on the road with us, and then I included a 3-song CD in it, or they can stream the song live if they prefer, from our website. And I learned about the Dolly Parton's Imagination Library when I read about a chapter opening in our local chapter, and I just thought, this is so amazing, how can I help out? So, and I've always loved Dolly. I mean, just loved Dolly to pieces. And so I thought this was amazing. And so we donate certain amount of proceeds from my book sales. And we've also done a couple of local benefit concerts for it as well. And it just, I mean, what can be better than teaching children stories and getting books in their hands so that they can start reading at an early age?
Absolutely. So if anyone wants to find out more about the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, just Google it and know that a portion of the proceeds from Tia's book called Jake the Road Dog, and I would imagine you could just Google that or go to her website, TiaMcGraff.com. That's MCGRAFF, TiaMcGraff.com. And I would imagine you can find out more information about her book. But now it has come to that time when we are going to close the show out, and we're going to close it with the song 10 Soldier, 110 Soldier. Real quick, what's it about? Real quick, like 1 minute.
Was written by, it was in the movie Ode to Billy Jack in the 70s. This is about the only cover tune that I've ever recorded, one of them. And I just love the song. And again, I think it's so timely. And, you know, we're leading up to something they made a big deal in England about, but we are leading up to the anniversary of World War I, 100 years. Okay. And I mean, you know, when you see where we've come, have we come any further? I don't know. But if you listen to the words of this song, I just felt it just fit in with what's going on today, and it had a beautiful message that I wanted to get out there, you know. Peace on earth is really all that matters, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, my gosh, One Tin Soldier, it sounds wonderful. It again, it's a classic song. It recently hit number 22 on the iTunes Canada Country Charts. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
I do remember when I was a little child, Ode to Billy Jack. Oh, I love that guy. I think there was a second movie, and then I don't know what happened to Billy Jack. He disappeared. But now I know it. Now I have a whole different way of looking at it now that I know the behind the story, what it's about. Okay, so all of Tia's songs are being sold all over. It's on Reverb Nation. I would miss Spotify. You can get it on iTunes. Just Google Tia McGrath or Stubborn in My Blood, her latest album. And Tia's going to come back next year. And I love you to death. You are like one of my favorite guests of all time. I love your personality. So the next tour, when you come back, next year, I'm going to ask you, what are some of your favorite moments or your funniest things? So make a note, record the funny.
I'll get Tommy to start doing some funny shit.
Okay, I love it. All right, Tia McGrath, say goodbye to your fans, and we're going to close the show out with One Tin Soldier. Say goodbye to your fans.
Goodbye. You guys have a great night, and thank you so much for tuning in and listening to our music. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. This is One Tin Soldier by Tia McGrath.
Listen, children, to a story that was written long ago about a kingdom on a mountain and the valley folk below. On the mountain was a treasure buried deep beneath a stone, and the valley people swore they'd have it for their very own. So the people of the valley sent a message up the hill asking for the treasure, tons of gold for which they'd kill.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.